presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower back to CX-4 with southeast ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Today, gang, we're going to go over the details of the Fairchild C-82 flying boxcar, or packet. These C-82s are the largest twin-engine aircraft flown by the United States Air Force. They're called flying boxcars because the large square-shaped fuselage holds a 9-ton payload. C-82s are just as fast as they are big. They hold the unofficial cross-country speed record for twin-engine cargo ships. And there's a combination that's hard to beat in any transport. Big payload and lots of speed. Many people have tried to describe the C-82, but about the best description I've heard is that the C-82 looks like an out-of-shape P-38. It's a high-wing monoplane type with the motors mounted on booms extending back to the twin tail assembly. The giant fuselage is slung low between the booms and below the propellers. Two large exit doors make up the entire back wall of the body, and when they open wide, there's plenty of room for paratroops or big cannon to go through. Right now, the C-82s are being used on Exercise Snowdrop up at Pine Camp, New York. The 505th Airborne Battalion Combat Team is carrying out extensive jump maneuvers to test equipment for use in snow operations. Much of the equipment originally tested and found satisfactory during operations in Alaska last year will be used again in these snowdrop exercises. And the Fairchild C-82 packet will be there playing an important part. In just a few minutes, gang, I'll be back with more information on this giant new transport. So don't forget to listen. And now of our story. Discovering the cause of the ghastly shrieking sound labeled the Wailing Witch, Hawk felt certain that by questioning Roy Saunders, forcing him to divulge his contact in the underground aircraft plant, he could solve the puzzling mystery and learn why 4 experimental models of Simon Gore's flying wing had been sabotaged. In our last episode, Hop lay in bed in a small room in the plant dispensary, feigning serious injury, and sent Major McCall on several mysterious errands, one of which was to return with Roy Saunders. But the Major phoned with startling news. Saunders was dead. 15 minutes later, he was back in Hop's room.
Sorry I took so long, boys, but I had to get things straightened out. Incidentally, Hop, everything you wanted is in this box.
Thank you, sir. What about Saunders?
Well, he was locked in a room on a hangar floor. When I walked in, there he was, sprawled out on the floor, dead. He'd been knifed.
Was the room still locked when you got there?
Yes.
Then whoever did it had a key.
One master key handles most of the rooms on that floor. Wouldn't be too hard to put your hands on it, I imagine.
Whoever it was certainly worked fast. Hey, that ought to give us a lead. Let's see, Simon Gore and Max Kell were sitting outside this room most of the time, which leaves Carla Davis.
Hey, no, Tank, they left, remember?
Oh, yeah. But they came back. To give themselves alibis, no doubt.
Well, Hop, looks like our plan backfired.
Yeah, sure did. We played our parts a little too well. How do you figure that? Now we made it look like I was dying. So the murderer figured he wouldn't have to bother with me, remove Saunders, and he'd be in the clear.
Which puts us right back where we started.
Not quite, sir. We can still work this another way and get the same result. You say everything's in that box?
Everything you asked for.
Okay, then, let's get to work. Will you call Gore and Carl and Max up here? Have them come in one at a time.
Right. I'll get them instead of Tony. Give them less chance to form alibis.
Good idea, sir.
Back as fast as I can.
What are you going to do, Hop? Talk to each one of them, pin them down to a story, and work from there. For Pete's sake, what's in that box? It's so all-fired important. The Wailing Witch. Huh? You'll see. Just be patient.
Tank walks over to the box, stares at it for a moment, shakes his head in bewilderment, then sits down in the chair beside Hop's bed to await further developments. A few minutes later, there is a hesitant knock on the door.
Here comes number one. Let him in, Tank.
Hello, Mr. Tinker.
Oh, hiya, Pop. Come on in.
Thank you. How is Mr. Harrigan?
Much better, thanks, Mr. Kell.
Oh, I'm very glad. Now, what did I tell you, Mr. Tinker? I knew everything would be all right.
Yeah, sit down, Mr. Kell.
Oh, thank you.
Have you heard the latest?
The latest? I don't understand.
Roy Saunders is dead.
Dead? Oh, my goodness.
Murdered, Pop.
Yes, I see. Which, as they say, men who live violently die violently.
Mr. Kell, did you know Roy Saunders?
Oh, no, no, but I've heard you and Mr. Tinker talk about him.
I see. Mr. Kell, you said you were in Yellow Creek yesterday trying to play detective.
Yes, that's right.
Well, what happened after you left Roy Saunders' office?
Well, I went straight to the bus station like you said to.
Did you see anybody?
Well, I saw Carla Davis. I rode back to the plant with her.
You did? But you said she was at the bus station earlier. She could have caught an earlier bus.
Yes, I know, but she barely made this one. She'd obviously been running quite hard.
I see. What did I tell you, Hop? Not now, thanks.
You think Carla has done all these terrible things, don't you?
Seems that way. Now, Mr. Kell, take a look in that box, will you?
Of course. What's in it?
The Wailing Witch.
What?
Open it, Mr. Kell.
Why?
Don't be afraid. It won't bite. Now.
Mr. Harrigan, I don't understand. There's nothing but broken tubing in here.
That's right. Tubing from a coil around the cockpit of the Flying Wing. That's the Wailing Witch.
You must forgive me, but I don't see how you've come to that conclusion.
I'll have the complete answer a little later, Mr. Kell, as soon as I examine the tubing more closely. Now, that's all. Thanks for coming up.
You be sure and call me if you think there's anything I can do.
Sure thing, Pop.
Well, goodbye.
So long.
Why, Max, what are you doing here?
Oh, hello, Mr. Gore.
Number two, get him in here.
Come on in, Mr. Gore.
Thank you, Tinker.
So long, Pop.
Goodbye.
Well, you look a lot better, Harrigan.
Thanks, I feel better.
I was worried about you.
Yeah, you sure was.
Tinker, I said I was sorry.
Never mind. Mr. Gore, how well did you know Roy Saunders?
I didn't know him at all.
Uh-huh. Tank, you have those plans?
Yeah, right here.
Mr. Gore, we found a set of plans in Roy Saunders' office last night, which should interest you.
Here, take a look.
What? These are my plans for my ship.
And you drew them up yourself, didn't you?
Well, of course. These are the originals, but how did he get them?
That's what we'd like to know.
Well, I didn't give them to him, if that's what you mean.
Where were they when you last saw them?
Well, in the safe, in my office downstairs.
When was the last time you saw them?
Ooh, maybe a week ago, maybe longer. I don't use them anymore.
And you've no idea how Roy Saunders could have gotten them?
No.
All right. Mr. Gore, tell me, what are you going to do with the Flying Wing now?
It's strange you should ask that.
Why?
I've decided to give it up.
Oh?
It won't work. I thought I had something, but obviously the design is much too radical. This last crash proves it.
One last question.
As many as you'd like.
What's your connection with Carla Davis?
Now, there is no connection, as you put it. Carla works for me.
That's all?
That's all.
All right, now will you please take a look at the contents of that box on the floor?
Oh? Well, what's in it?
Tell him, Jack. The Wailing Witch.
What? What? Are you joking? Why, this is part of the wreckage of the plane. Some of the tubing from the cockpit coil.
That's right. Thanks, Mr. Gore. That'll be all.
But, Harry,
I... Oh, brother, the door's over this way.
Oh. Very well.
Thanks for coming up.
Not at all.
Seeing you, Mr. Gore. Uh-huh. What do you think?
Things are taking shape.
Wait till Carla Davis shows up, and we'll get an earful, I bet.
Yes, it should be very interesting. And very illuminating.
So, two people have been questioned, and now the boys wait for the third, the most important suspect to arrive. What will she tell them?
We'll know in a moment, gang, so stand by.
Fellows and girls, the C-82 Fairchild Packet is among the most versatile of our Air Force transports. It carries up to 42 combat-equipped parachute troops and many cans of supplies, machine guns, mortars, ammunition, food, and other things airborne soldiers need for ground operations. All these supplies are packed in specially built paracans, which slide along the rail in the ceiling of the cargo hold and drop through a hatch in the bottom of the plane. This happens at the same time the paratroopers jump through the rear door. The system is so perfect that 183 50-pound cans are dropped in only 6 seconds. Think of it. Also, the fact that the paracans drop at the same time as the soldiers do allows them to fall within a small area. The flying boxcar's wide doors allow 42 paratroopers to jump within a matter of a few seconds. The fuselage is far enough under the propeller blasts so that the air troops clear the ship without any danger. The inside is roomy enough to carry either 4 jeeps or 2 jeeps and 2 trailers. The ship can be converted into a flying hospital within 20 minutes after landing in an evacuation area by assembling 34 litters built into the sides of the fuselage. Recently, the Army Ground Forces carried out successful experiments in dropping heavy equipment from the C-82, and those tests are in progress now. Ground Force experimenters say they'll continue their tests until they can lower almost all Army equipment by means of parachute. And when that happens, well, we'll be able to have a real airborne army complete with every weapon except for heavy tanks. You can see by this, gang, that aviation is really moving ahead. Plan to make flying a career and get ready now to take your place in the air. For always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. Nearing a possible solution to the mystery of the Wailing Witch, Hop and Tank have already questioned Max Kell and Simon Gore, and now Carla Davis has appeared in the young pilot's room in the dispensary. Noticing her belligerent attitude, Hop explains,
"I want you to get one thing straight, Miss Davis. We're not trying to railroad you. We're looking for facts and facts alone."
"All right, all right. Get off the soapbox. What do you want to know?"
"First, about your bracelet. You said you lost it again. Where?"
"Well, I don't know. But I wasn't in the master control room, and I didn't slug Major McCall."
"Very well. Then what about your visit to Yellow Creek yesterday?"
"What about it?"
"Why did you go to Roy Saunders' office?"
"Because he asked me to."
"He asked you personally?"
"No, a friend of mine worked for him. He came to see me the night before."
"This friend, was he a good friend?"
"Oh, I go out with him a lot."
"You went out with him, you mean?"
"Huh?"
"He's dead, Miss Davis."
"Dead?"
"Knocked off by the guy who's been wrecking the planes."
"Oh, no."
"I'm sorry. Now, will you help us?"
"Oh, yeah. Sure, I'll tell you anything you want to know."
"What did Roy Saunders talk to you about?"
"He wanted me to work for him."
"Doing what?"
"Same stuff I do here, airplane welding."
"Did he have a ship for you to work on?"
"He said he did."
"The plans, Hop."
"Well, what did you decide?"
"I told him to jump in the lake. I was working for Mr. Gore and nobody else."
"Then after you left him, what did you do?"
"I called Mr. Gore and told him. Then I took the bus back to the plant."
"Right away?"
"No, I did some shopping, almost missed the bus, as a matter of fact."
"And why did you call Gore after we left you last night?"
"I was scared. Mr. Gore asked me not to tell anybody about Saunders, and well, you were hitting awful close."
"One last question. You drink a lot of cream soda, don't you?"
"Yeah, so what?"
"You can't get it here in the plant, can you?"
"No, I have to bring it in from Yellow Creek all the time."
"Okay, thanks. Now, will you look into that box there, Miss Davis?"
"Why?"
"Because he's asking it to."
"There's nothing in there to hurt you. Go ahead."
"It's only busted tubing."
"Right. That's all. Thanks for coming."
"Okay. You know, I told you the truth, don't you, Mr. Harrison?"
"See you later, Carla."
"Yeah, so long."
"Well, Hop, what do you think?"
"You mean, who's guilty?"
"What else?"
"I'm not prepared to say yet, Tank, but the hook is baited now. And pretty soon our fish is going to bite. Maybe even sooner than we expect."
Once again, Hop seems satisfied with the course of events. He has spoken to three people, laid his trap. Now, one of them, the guilty one, is sure to strike back. Gang, there's a big surprise in store for you in our next action-packed episode, so tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's Ace of the Airwaves. So on, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine and is brought to you Monday through Friday, same time, same mutual station.